Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. In this, our third and final installment of Valdis Bell's comprehensive expose of the Jewish Anti-Defamation League, or ADL, we will be exploring the deep and abiding connections between the ADL and the criminal underworld. Later in the program, we'll be talking about the psychological and biological framework that underlies what the ADL does. The ADL and its allied Jewish defamation and smear artists, agents of Israel, financial scammers, and political pressure groups are engaged in a planet-wide effort that can only be compared to the infection of a healthy body by infectious parasitic disease organisms in the biological realm. Organisms that eat our substance, that take over our minds, that use our body to fight the organism's enemies, and that, like HIV, disable our immune system so that we cannot repel the infection. The first part of this program will be read, as in the previous 2 weeks, by Miss Neubauer. I give you Vanessa Neubauer and Hate and Defamation, the full story of the ADL, Part 3.
Crime Connections. The ADL operates much like an organized crime gang, as their intimidation and in-your-face life-ruining tactics make clear. And that's not just a result of, quote, overzealousness, end quote, or an unreasoning fear of persecution. The ADL has direct connections to numerous notorious crime figures. Meyer Lansky, one of the architects of modern organized crime in the United States, and connected with, quote, Murder Incorporated, end quote, was a strong supporter of and donor to the ADL. His granddaughter, Myra Lansky Boland, was an ADL official. Ironically, her position is listed as, quote, liaison to law enforcement, end quote. She arranged expense-paid luxury tours to Israel, the world capital of sex trafficking, for certain key law enforcement officials who had, quote, something to offer, end quote, the ADL in return. Among them, Tom Girard. Mo Dalitz, organized crime boss of Las Vegas, was a longtime supporter of the ADL and a close friend of Meyer Lansky. In 1982, Dalitz received the Torch of Liberty Award from the ADL. Theodore Silbert, mafia frontman, worked simultaneously for the ADL and the Sterling National Bank, a mafia operation controlled by the Lansky Syndicate. Michael Milken, convicted financial criminal of junk bond fame, was a major contributor to the ADL. Mark Rich, international fugitive and financial criminal, was hiding out in Switzerland to avoid prosecution for his crimes when he wrote a check for $100,000 to the ADL, who then proceeded to pull the necessary strings. He was then pardoned by President Bill Clinton on his last day in office. Rich later admitted he had worked with the ADL-linked Mossad for years, and Israeli officials also intervened on his behalf with Clinton. Jewish critiques. The ADL routinely smears those who have criticized its goals and methods by calling them, quote, anti-Semites, end quote. An amazing invented word, by the way. No other ethnicity, so far as I know, has created a comparable neologism to demonize, isolate, and ostracize its critics. But so outrageous has been the behavior of the ADL that it has garnered much criticism from Jewish writers, activists, and dissenters from the, quote, mainstream, end quote, Jewish establishment. Noam Chomsky, leftist Jewish activist and professor of linguistics at MIT, on the ADL. Quote, one of the ugliest, most powerful pressure groups in the United States. Its primary commitment is to use any technique, however dishonest and disgraceful, in order to defame and silence and destroy anybody who dares to criticize the holy state, Israel. End quote. Quote, the ADL is engaged in surveillance, blacklisting, compilation of FBI-style files circulated to adherents for the purpose of defamation, angry public responses to criticism of Israeli actions, and so on. These efforts, buttressed by insinuations of anti-Semitism or direct accusations, are intended to deflect or undermine opposition to Israeli policies. End quote. Robert Friedman, liberal Jewish journalist, says of the ADL, quote, the largest private spy agency in America. Through its 31 offices across the country, the ADL monitors school curricula, library acquisition lists, and public conferences and symposiums, working behind the scenes to stifle intellectual freedom. End quote. Robert I. Friedman, quote, the Jewish Thought Police, end quote. Village Voice, July 27, 1993. Norman Finkelstein, Jewish author and academic, says of the ADL's longtime director, Abraham Foxman, that he is, quote, a hoodlum and a thug, end quote. Defamation, video documentary, 1999. Monty Warner, conservative Jewish writer and director of the Center for the Study of Popular Culture, says that, quote, the ADL has devolved into an opportunistic, intolerant, grief-grubbing stench, end quote. And says of ADL boss Abraham Foxman that he is, quote, a disgrace to my religion, end quote. Rabbi Daniel Lappin, president of Torah Tradition, a Jewish religious group, called ADL leader Abraham Foxman, quote, our own worst enemy, end quote. Torah Tradition said it picked Foxman, quote, from among other representatives of the anti-Semitism industry, end quote, because of his pivotal role in former President Clinton's pardon of fugitive Jewish financial criminal Mark Rich. Quote, after the ADL received a $100,000 check from the Rich Foundation, Foxman wrote to Bill Clinton urging the pardon, end quote. Midge Dechter, Dennis Prager, and 75 prominent Jewish writers and leaders issued a public statement in 1994 charging the ADL with, quote, engaging in defamation, end quote, in the ADL's attacks on rightists and Christians, routinely using, quote, such discreditable techniques as insinuation and guilt by association, end quote, by finding and publicizing, quote, links, end quote, between its targets and allegedly more radical, read already smeared, figures in its voluminous dossiers of personal information obtained largely through espionage. Steve Zeltzer, Jewish labor activist and himself a victim of ADL spying, states of the ADL, quote, they have always had enemies lists, and they have always wanted to control the flow of information, end quote. The ADL and the post-9/11 national security state. Post-9/11 hysteria led Americans into illegal and unjustified wars in the Middle East and has brought us such unconstitutional erosions of our rights as the misnamed Patriot Act and its secret laws, secret courts, secret trials, and secret prisons. The massive illegal spying operations of the NSA and other agencies, and the maintenance of a, quote, kill list, end quote, under which anyone on Earth can be marked for death by the president. Within months after the attacks, the ADL had already organized conferences to help the secret police take advantage of their new ill-gotten powers, as this ADL press release makes clear. Quote, ADL press release, June 6, 2002. More than 500 representatives of federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies were briefed on extremist and terrorist threats during a day-long conference co-sponsored by the Anti-Defamation League ADL, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The May 31st program, held at the FBI Academy in Quantico, Virginia, was an outgrowth of ADL's longtime involvement in providing information and training to law enforcement on threats posed by extremists. The conference, Extremist and Terrorist Threats, Protecting America After 9/11, included presentations from ADL, FBI, and other nationally recognized experts on extremist groups, investigative techniques, counterterrorism strategies, domestic security, and threat assessment. End quote. Quote, now more than ever, law enforcement must have the resources and know-how to prevent future acts of terrorism, end quote, said Abraham H. Foxman, ADL National Director. Quote, in order to assess threats against the United States, law enforcement must have credible information about domestic and foreign extremists whose rhetoric promotes violence. Through our network of regional offices and our experts in the field, ADL is uniquely suited to aid in the war against terrorism. This conference was an opportunity for law enforcement and extremism watchdogs to compare notes and forge alliances. End quote. Somehow, I doubt that Roy Bullock's name was brought up at the meeting. Rabbi Spitz's vision. It seems that the, quote, Anti-Defamation League, end quote, has taken to heart the words of Rabbi Leon Spitz, writing in the American Hebrew of March 1, 1946. Quote, American Jews, too, must come to grips with our contemporary anti-Semites. We must fill our jails with anti-Semitic gangsters. We must fill our insane asylums with anti-Semitic lunatics. We must combat every alien Jew hater. We must harass and prosecute our Jew baiters to the extreme limits of the laws. We must humble and shame our anti-Semitic hoodlums to such an extent that none will wish to dare to become, quote, fellow travelers, end quote. Quote, glamorous Purim formula, end quote, Rabbi Leon Spitz, The American Hebrew, March 1, 1946. Spitz is speaking in coded language, but the veil is rather thin. He's not talking about prosecuting criminals per se, for the whole force of law enforcement was already doing that when he spoke. He's calling for especially intense scrutiny of perceived, quote, anti-Semites, end quote, by law enforcement, and the use of any and all technical violations that might be discovered to prosecute them. In our law-happy society, it's doubtful that anyone could escape such close scrutiny unscathed. Google the internet meme, quote, three felonies a day, end quote, if you don't believe me. He doesn't actually believe that gangsters are disproportionately, quote, anti-Semitic, end quote. In fact, no one has ever alleged that. What he's saying is that the perceived enemies of the Jewish people should be criminalized in the public mind and in the minds of law enforcement officers so that they will be treated like gangsters. And that, in fact, is what the ADL has done with their close liaisons with police and secret police authorities, alerting them to the, quote, dangers, end quote, of patriot militia, quote, hate groups, end quote, traditionalist religious groups, alleged, quote, neo-Nazis, end quote, and the like. Those whom the ADL sees as vociferous critics of Israel or Jewish power. In fact, few of these groups have any desire to harm Jews in any way, though they may criticize the ADL, Israel, or other parts of the Jewish establishment. Criticism of Jews as Jews, or public doubt of their tales of suffering in World War II, is a prosecutable offense in some countries today, in part due to the lobbying activities of the ADL and its allies. Spitz doesn't actually believe that his perceived enemies are insane, and therefore belong in asylums. Elsewhere in his article, he credits them with only avarice, jealousy, and hatred. He is intimating, though, that they will by some means be redefined as insane and literally fill the asylums. The mass media, heavily influenced by the ADL and disproportionately staffed with Jews, do present caricatured portraits of, quote, conspiracy theorists, end quote, and, quote, racists, end quote, who dislike Jews, and it is often implied that they are lunatics, quote, evil geniuses, end quote, or some dangerous mix of the two. Critics of Jewish power today are never, to my knowledge, ever presented in a sympathetic manner by the media. When Rabbi Spitz tells his fellows that, quote, we must harass and prosecute our Jew baiters to the extreme limits of the laws, we must humble and shame our anti-Semitic hoodlums to such an extent that none will wish to dare to become, quote, fellow travelers, end quote. He is telling us that the laws must be stretched to their, quote, extreme limits, end quote, to prosecute and harass those who criticize Jews in order to, quote, humble, end quote, them and shame them. That is, ruin their reputations, so that no one will dare to join them, publicly share their opinions, or value their friendship. This has nothing to do with enforcing the laws equally for all, and everything to do with destroying lives and suppressing the freedom to speak and organize through pure intimidation. Though the American Hebrew was not an ADL publication, and I don't know if the good rabbi supported the ADL, I think it's fair to say that his view represented a significant and influential strain in American Jewish thought in the aftermath of World War II, a strain eagerly taken up by the ADL. Spitz's hatefully poetic words are in the League's spirit, and considering the League's ongoing, lavishly funded, and largely successful defamation of those they label, quote, anti-Semites, end quote, perhaps Rabbi Spitz should be regarded as a kind of latter-day prophet, with the ADL his heavenly host of hate.
Thank you, Vanessa Neubauer. You've been listening to Hate and Defamation, The Full Story of the ADL, Part 3, by Valdis Bell. I would go further than Mr. Bell. I would say that the organized Jewish groups are the HIV of European civilization. They are a parasite, but oh, what a parasite. Our civilization is like a body, of which we are the component cells. Each of us, like the cells in a human body, has a function to perform in order that the body may continue to live and reproduce. The cells in our body all carry exactly the same gene pattern. And recognizing that pattern is the method by which our immune system determines which cells are a part of us and so are not attacked, and which cells are invaders with alien gene patterns, and those cells are attacked by the immune system. Without this genetic us or them identification and the attack response from the immune system, we could not live. We would be dead within hours. So also do the men and women who make up our civilization have similar gene patterns by which they may be recognized as part of our race, the white race. Invaders, on the other hand, have different gene patterns, and we can generally tell this in an instant by simply seeing their facial features. Our civilization's immune system has many facets to defend us against invaders. The inborn racial feelings which make us mate and marry only among our own kind. The inborn social behaviors which cause us to favor our own kind and to disfavor invaders or those who intermarry with invaders. The legal system which in America, for example, until recently, made interracial mixing a crime in every state where it was at all likely to occur, and which defined citizenship in racial terms. The culture of art and literature, which extolled the virtues and characteristics, aesthetic and psychological, which made us unique. And the racial patriots, outside and inside the government, who warned us to keep ever vigilant against any alien presence, alien infiltration, or alien control of our institutions and society, and who brought forth principles and philosophies to help protect future generations of our people. These, together with the military, who would be brought to bear if an invasion reached a critical level, constituted the immune system of our civilization. But that immune system has been disabled. It has been disabled by an invader which uses the same deadly technique as the human immunodeficiency virus, HIV, which kills the human immune system before it kills its host. It kills the immune system so that it may live off of our flesh and our blood without hindrance. And the reign of the parasite, which is marked by a horrible, painful decline and wasting away, which takes many years, ultimately results in an agonizing death. When the Jews enter a host society, they quickly organize themselves on many levels. They organize financially and set up arcane, hard-to-understand confidence games, like fractional reserve banking, in order to gain the wealth of the host without working. This is similar to the way HIV lives off the host cells in the human body. Without the host, it could not live. They organize to control the media, so that the images that the host people see of the world around them through books, television, film, and the press are carefully selected and censored and spun by Jewish editors, writers, producers, directors, and owners. In this, they are even more insidious than HIV, which, so far as I know, has not yet evolved a method to interrupt the nerve connections that connect the eyes and ears to the brain and filter our perception of reality to help the virus. They organize, first and foremost, though, to destroy the immune system of the host society. This is where Jewish groups like the ADL and SPLC and their analogs in other white nations come in. They use their power of the press and their agents in the educational establishment to inculcate the idea that our inborn racial feelings, the first lines of defense in our immune system, are wrong or evil. They attack the inborn social behaviors that make us naturally favor our own kind and disfavor invaders, not only by teaching us that these defense behaviors are immoral, but by using all the power and pressure and money at their disposal to, wherever possible, make us favoring our own kind actually illegal. Them favoring their own kind, however, is never illegal or immoral. It is virtuous and good. They use their power of the purse and power of media persuasion to control politicians and so alter our laws so that the invader is welcomed instead of repelled. In fact, those who repel him find themselves indicted and prosecuted under new laws that the invader has created. They also use their control over our political leaders so that our military is seldom or never used against any invaders or against those who are truly enemies of our nation or civilization, but is instead used almost exclusively against those whom the Jews consider enemies. Ever more fantastic lies and false flag incidents are used to justify these wars for Jewish interests, but they continue for decades on end. Most of all, they organize to defame, insult, traduce, frame, imprison, and ruin the reputation and lives and ability to earn a living of all of those patriots who expose the parasitic infection and rally society to defend itself against it. The disabling of the immune system of our society and our civilization is the function of the ADL. In its service to the parasitic HIV-like entity which gave it birth. This is the most momentous and greatest battle between life forms ever to take place on the earth. It is happening today. It is happening before our eyes, and our very survival and the fate of life in the universe depends upon its outcome. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance. I want to send each of you our beautiful, full-color illustrated booklet explaining the purpose of the Alliance. In this booklet, you can read about our program to save our race and secure a future for white children. It is entitled, Building a New White World. To receive your copy, simply visit natall.com/booklet. That's natall.com/booklet. Or send $3, $7 outside the U.S. and Canada, to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Once again, that's $3, $7 outside the U.S. and Canada, to Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We're on the air every week, and our news site is updated many times every day at nationalvanguard.org. That's nationalvanguard.org. We also have a forum where you can meet, talk, learn, and share with others, whitebiocentrism.com. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you to never give up. We'll be right back.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout.